Hello, Andy.
Woo, Linda.
What up?
Oh, it's been too long, Linda. Too many days.
It's been so many days.
I feel like so much. It's just been a short lifetime has elapsed in the past 2 weeks. It feels like it's been so long.
It really has. What's going on with us?
Is time accelerating or something?
I think it is. I was just reminiscing with one of my coworkers about childhood stuff where like 2 hours feels like it was 10 days.
Mm. Yeah,
you know,
I can definitely empathize with that.
We perceive time so differently when we were kids, and I remembered like the days that I had to stay with that person at church who would like watch me maybe once a month or something, and they probably only watched me for like an afternoon or like 3 hours.
AKA but... enough time for a whole epic emotional journey.
Yeah, exactly. And I just remember still just being like there and crying and just feeling like the day would never end and my parents were never going to come get me. And yeah.
How do you feel about the passage of time? Do you feel like time has slowed or sped up as you've gotten older? I mean, not just on like the hour by hour level, because I definitely understand what you're saying. I have memories of when I was a kid and it's like, I have 3 hours to do whatever I want, and it feels like an eternity. And now, as an adult, I'm like, well, I might not. I shouldn't start something. I have to be somewhere in 3 hours, and there's no time.
Yeah. Totally, because we perceive time so differently now. And I'll just, like, lose 3 hours without knowing where they went sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've recently realized that I kind of, like, because I go to the gym early, God, here I'm mentioning the fucking gym again. I guess I'm just that guy now.
Get gym! Get your muscles!
No, but because I go early, right? So I get up at like 5:15, and then I'm at the gym by 6, and then I get home by like 7:15. I don't have to be at work till 9, and that's a long time. That's like 2 hours, and it's only a 15-minute ride for me to get to work, and yet that time just every day just gets evaporated into nothingness. Like, if that 2 hours was located somewhere else in my day, something could happen with it, but because I just got back from the gym, and I'm tired, and I don't really want to go to work. It just turns into, like, I'm going to lay on the floor and look at my phone, and I'm going to, like, just dirtle around. It just evaporates. It's not fair.
Yeah, that's exactly what we were talking about. We were talking about the morning hours and how my coworker friend, he apparently, when he was a little kid, they had this, like, light that would automatically go on in their landing. At 7 a.m. But as a little kid, you wake up at like 5 a.m. and you're ready to get up and run around. And so his mom said, you can't get out of your room until that light goes on in the hallway. And so he said that 2 hours waiting for the light to go on were just like excruciating every morning.
That would be such a long amount of time as a child. Holy moly.
Yeah. But now kids probably just get on their dang iHoozie.
They probably just start Fortniting from bed.
Start jerking off.
Well, hey, now, that's timeless,
porn.
Okay? Though not if you're four, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, it's a timeless time passer.
Yeah,
never
that's
gets
a classic.
Old. Never goes out of style.
Never goes out of style. You always come back to it. The old faithful.
You always
come
back to it.
Maybe I shouldn't call it old faithful.
Old faithful? Ayo.
Ooh.
Good pun.
My mom likes to tell a story from when I was a kid, and it's a story about how much of a goody-two-shoes rule follower I've been since a young age. Which is that when I first got old enough to sleep in a big boy bed, and I don't know when this was, I'm going to guess between the ages of what, 2 and 4, somewhere in there. When I first crossed that threshold, I had like a mattress on the floor or whatever, like a low bed frame, and I would always wake up super early, as kids are wont to do, which of course makes sense because they go to bed at like 7 p.m. Of course they wake up early. Anyway.
Right.
And my mom told me, all right, you're in a big boy bed now, but the rule is you can't get out of bed until we're up. And she said that for like months of my life, I would wake up, be wide awake, and I would yell across the house like, Mommy, Daddy, I'm awake! And they would say, stay in bed! And I'd be like, okay! And then I would sit there for like an hour and a half while they, you know, stayed in bed and like relaxed and got ready. And I would just lay in bed, all complacent.
That's so cute. Yeah, my sister and her husband have, like, a room next to theirs that has a TV in it that's all, like, set up and kid-proof. And so the kid is allowed to go into that room.
Go into the airlock, the on-deck area.
Yeah, exactly, staging area. And bring whatever toy she wants in there. It's basically just like, don't fucking wake Mom and Dad. Just whatever you do.
You can go in this entertainment room. You're permitted here as long as you're not waking us up.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, yes, time does move by so much faster now.
In some ways, but then also it's like I can contrast the 2 hours of my morning that just turns into vapor very starkly against like the first 2 hours when I'm at work. Like I feel like between 9 and 11, that's a short lifetime. I can accomplish a lot in those 2 hours, and because I'm doing so many little tiny tasks at the beginning of the day, if you do a lot of little stuff, it feels like you got a lot more done.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's all that's about true. Perception.
It is.
Linda, what have you been doing for 2 weeks? What's new?
Well, I've been sick for like the last week and a half.
Ugh.
So I haven't missed that much.
Ugh. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I think I got strep, but it wasn't bad enough for the test at the doctor's office to pick it up. So they have like this rapid test that will check your spit for strep in like 5 minutes.
So basically you think you got strep and the doctors say you didn't, but you're like, I probably still had strep.
Yeah, because it was just a sore throat that's lingered for like 12 days.
Hmm.
And they gave me some amoxicillin, but I'm trying to not take it, so I haven't taken it yet.
Maybe you should, Linda, per our previous conversations about medication.
I know, but I was like, man, it's just a few episodes that I was on amoxicillin. I shouldn't take it that much. It's terrible.
This is another one of the stories from my youth that influenced my early misguided thinking about medicine and medication, because I never took like any pills growing up. Like if I had a headache, I would not take a Tylenol, and I was lucky enough not to need to take a regular pill or anything. So like I never took anything really for most of my childhood up through and including like, you know, high school. And then I slept really badly in high school, which I think we touched on before. I was a really bad sleeper. I stayed up till the wee hours of the morning, and I was tired all day, and I would fall asleep in class, and, you know, I was really kind of, you know, didn't have my shit together. But anyway, I went through a period where I was falling asleep slightly more than normal in public places, and my mom got concerned about me and took me to the doctor, and it turns out I had mono for a long time, and the only symptom was that I was slightly more tired than if I didn't have mono, and they put me on amoxicillin. And I took some amoxicillin because my mother made me. And I remember us fighting about it. I was probably 15 or 16. And I didn't want to take a dumb amoxicillin. And she was like, you have to. You have mono. And when I took it, I like broke out in a full body rash. Like hives all over me. And I was like, see, Mom? This is what you get for making me take a pill.
That sucks that you had mono. They actually tested me for mono the other day, too. Which I also don't have.
Maybe you just have only a little bit of mono, just not enough for the test to pick up.
I know. I've got something for sure, because my right tonsil is just huge. Ugh. Oh, and then I got, like, a stomach flu this weekend. So jeez. I've been really sexy to be around. I know. But it's all been very minor. It's, like, a pretty minor stomach flu. It's a pretty minior sore throat. Like, I'll take it.
I don't feel like I'm dying. Do you feel like you're on the mend? Are you on the other side of the hump? You're getting better now?
Yeah, except for the stomach thing. I feel like today was like the peak for that one.
Hmm.
So, taking all of my meetings from the bathroom.
Hey, we've all done it.
Yeah. but yeah, that's me. I was in Boston last week because I got two new designers on my team. And
that's exciting.
Onboarded them. Dude, they're awesome too. They're so nice. So great. So... yeah. Sweet. Where were you? You were traveling. You were in, like, Mexico or some shit.
Right, right. We were in Mexico for a week, but I encouraged this, but we made the, like, maybe in hindsight mistake of traveling Wednesday to Wednesday as opposed to, like, weekend to weekend, which my logic was missing a whole week of work, you miss, like, a whole thing. At least, you know, for us at work, like, things are organized into weeks, right? And so if I miss a whole week, I miss a whole cycle, and then... there's a lot more to get caught up on than if I'm there for a couple days and can kind of like stay on top of things. And then I'm there for a couple days the next week. That was one thought. The other thought was the flights were, I think, a little bit cheaper. But it really kind of like took over the 2 weeks on either end. It felt like it was just, it was not two productive days in the office. It was two like frantic, anxious days in the office because there was going to be no time. For the rest of the week. So that was probably not a great idea. Maybe not.
Yeah, because then you probably spent the first Monday and Tuesday exactly like oh my God, I have to get everything done. And there's that like new week energy where everybody in the office is like ramping up, getting ready to go, building that momentum. And then you're like, oh shit. And then you have to like cut that clean in the middle, go do your thing. And then
it happens,
you come back in the middle of, when you come back in the middle of the week, you really need like a break after vacation. I feel like everybody needs a solid day or two just to like unpack, remember where your spoons are.
This was part of my reasoning though, is that like one of the worst feelings to me in the whole world is you get back from vacation on a Sunday, the drive back from the airport to your house at like, you know, 6 or 7 p.m. or later, depending when you get in, knowing that you have to get home and you have to do laundry and you have to like clean everything up and then you have to go to bed and go right back to work. I just hate that feeling so much. And so part of the thing of traveling Wednesday is like, well, you could take part of Thursday off, blah, 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 which you could always, of course, do on Monday, but it feels weird to take part of Monday off. Anyway, it's a whole thing.
I'm all about taking off Thursday to Friday. Because if you leave on Thursday, you can leave like halfway through the day, so you can get some work done, be like, I'm still here.
And then you get back.
And you're gone on Friday. Yeah, so you get back on, or if you leave and you're gone that Friday, nobody's like missing you that much because it's Friday, let's be honest. Exactly. And then the next week, you come back, you got Friday and Saturday to do your laundry.
I'm going to adopt this thought technology, I think, Linda.
I'm a pro, Andy.
This is big, I think. This is up there with color coding your calendar based on emotional energy.
It really is.
Can you come up with some sort of image that will go viral for this episode like that one?
It'll just be a picture of me drinking a piña colada at your house or something, like on vacation.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, we were in Mexico.
But how was Mexico?
We were in Mérida. Which is in the Yucatan. It's basically like, it's the biggest city in the Yucatan. It's like closest to Cancun. If, listener, you're not familiar with Mérida, you're probably familiar with Cancun. And the reason we went there is because, I may have mentioned this before, but my cousin's wife is in the Foreign Service. So this is like one of my cousins. You know, I don't know how many cousins you have, but at least for me, I have a lot of cousins on both sides of the family. And on both sides of the family, there's like one, maybe two cousins where I'm like, all right, we get along. We see things the same way. We've got the same politics and values and stuff. And this is that cousin for me on my mom's side of the family.
Got it.
Get along with him well. And his wife is also fabulous. And so they're basically stationed in a new country every 3 years for as long as she decides to continue work for the Foreign Service. So we get to travel and visit them, and we don't have to pay for lodging, and they speak the local language, and they know all the cool spots and all that kind of stuff, and so it's kind of perfect.
That's awesome.
I also really like it because it makes us go places that we might otherwise not go. Like, the first place we visited them was in Warsaw, which was great. Nothing against Poland, but I would never think, like, let's go to Warsaw for vacation.
Let's go to Poland!
Right,
yeah, exactly.
I'd be like, what about Spain or France or, you know, something like that. But we went to Warsaw, and it's a whole new thing in a place we probably won't go back to, but we wouldn't have gone to otherwise, which is kind of fun.
Right.
So anyway, we were
in
Mérida.
So cool.
And Mérida is not a big touristy town. There's some tourism there, but it's like, it's got to be way less tourism than, like, New York City, for example. Like, you know, as far as a percentage of the economy. It's mostly just a city where people live. And they're just like live in a normal neighborhood. So it's like a neighborhood we wouldn't be able to see otherwise because there's not like Airbnbs or hotels in the neighborhood. It's just a bunch of houses. And it was a pretty cool vacation.
That's super cool.
Yeah. Had like a paradigm cenote experience. Have you swam into cenote? It feels like something you would have done at some point in your life.
No. What is that?
So cenotes are these like sinkholes that form in limestone bedrock in parts of, I think, all over basically Central and South America.
They happen in Guatemala a lot, I think.
Yeah, and I don't actually know what causes them and why they appear there and why we don't have them in America as far as I know. But it's basically a big hole in the ground, and the hole, you know, fills up with groundwater, but the groundwater is, like, filtered through this limestone, so it's, like, clean and beautiful, and you just can go swim in these holes. And we had, you know, there's, like I mentioned, my cousin and his wife live there, so they've had lots of guests, and they've been to lots of cenotes, and they're always hosting friends that are coming to visit them, and so they, like, know all the kind of good spots. And there was one cenote they had not been to that they had, like, seen on a map. And they were like, we want to try this one. It's, like, off the beaten path. It's not, like, one of the cenotes you would first go to. But, you know, we haven't been there, so let's go to that one.
And, yeah.
You know, we start in the city, and we would drive out, you know, for a while. And Yucatan is very – I did not realize how, like, not populous it is. It is mostly just trees as far as the eye can see. And there's a few cities that are connected by roads that just go through trees for, you know – 50, 60, 100 miles, and there's, like, nothing in between. So we, like, drive out of the city, and we go through a little village, like a little Puebla, and there's a lot of poverty in the Yucatan, so, you know, that's a thing, and that's, you know, kind of hard to face, obviously. We drive through this little village, and then we eventually get to this, like, other little spot, and then the road is not a road anymore. It's just, like, a dirt path, and we're in, like, a Kia something or other, like not an all-wheel drive vehicle. We needed to go like 5 kilometers down this like unmarked road, and we're basically just following this like longitude and latitude pin that you know, they found on some blog about cenotes. There's like no signage, there's like nothing, and it's the kind of thing where like if Hillary and I had been doing that alone, we for sure would have turned back, either because we were convinced that we were in the wrong place and, you know, felt uncomfortable, or like, you know, we had no cell service or anything. We would just get like, you know, like weird about the fact that like, what if we get a flat tire? We're just going to be stuck in the middle of the jungle and like have nowhere to go. But
right,
they're with us. And so we just kept going, and we came across a bunch of like gates on this road that we just like opened and went through. No signs, you know, you just keep going. At one point there was a herd of cows with no person attending to them that were just in the middle of the road. We had to like slowly push them out of the way with the front of the car to get through.
Wow.
We're like going really slow down this dirt road, and as we're getting towards the end, we do eventually come across like 3 people in the middle of nowhere behind like a little makeshift booth, and you give them like 20 pesos and you can like pass and go onto the cenote, and then it starts pouring when we get there. I should say too, it wasn't actually that warm in Merida. Like, they had a very cool week where we were there. It was a very like a mild week for them. It was like 75 most days, which is pretty cool for them. Like the locals were wearing like sweatshirts and like long pants in 75 degree weather because that's cold for them. So it was like when it started raining and like the wind picked up, it was like very cold. It was definitely not swimming weather, right? So we were kind of sitting in the car after like making our way down this like long treacherous path, and it took us forever to get down this road because our little Kia was going super slow over the rocks and stuff. And we're kind of like, well, we came all this way, might as well at least like, you know, jump in or whatever. So we like got out in the pouring rain and like freezing or walking across, you know, the ground. And as we approach this cenote, right, it's just, there's nothing around. There's actually it's a little tiny building, which I think was toilets they had built actually. But it's just nothing around, middle of nowhere, and you're walking up to this hole in the ground. And you can see it, you know, on the ground in the distance. And it's a big hole. It's probably like 40 feet across, I would have to guess, in diameter. And as you're walking up, you see that there's like stairs, like kind of rickety wooden stairs that go down towards the hole. And I will never forget walking up to this thing, because we're walking up, and as we're getting closer and closer to this hole, right, you know, like as I get closer, your angle on the hole gets more you know, steep, and you can see deeper into the hole. And as we kept getting closer, it kept going deeper and deeper, and I could not see the water. This hole just kept going down. And it was like really intense, and these cold rain falling. And when you get over it, you realize that like it's probably maybe another 50 feet from the surface of the ground to the top of the surface of the water. And once this hole goes underground, it like spreads out a whole bunch, right? Like it's like, it's like a big sphere where only like the top part of it is like bisected by the surface of the ground. So it's like, you're basically walking on what you didn't realize, but actually is like a big overhang. And then the stairs, these rickety wooden stairs, they only go down like 4 steps towards the center of the hole. And then they turn, they turn around completely, and then they go the other direction. So you're basically walking along like the inside of this curved surface, you know, the inside of the wall. And the stairs are super rickety.
It looks like you're just like descending into nothingness.
Yeah, yeah. It was really intense. And it's like, it's got to be like top 3 most beautiful places I've ever been in my entire life. Because as soon as we got underground and we're out of the wind, it wasn't that cold anymore. The water's pretty warm, so like it didn't matter that it was like raining. And because the hole opens up underground, it was only raining through this like one you know, column in the middle where you could see all the rainwater hitting the surface of the water in the cenote, and that's where, like, the sunbeam was coming down too. But then there was all this other, like, you know, darker space in there. And so this particular cenote is huge, and my cousin and his wife were like, oh, this is the most beautiful one. We've been to, like, all of the cenotes in the area, and yeah, this one was super hard to get to, and not, like, you know, it's not, like, one of the well-developed ones. Like, some of the ones where tourists show up often, they have, like, life vests and, you know, stuff like that. And this was not that at all. Right. This was a big hole in the ground with, you know, a rickety wooden staircase.
Oh, my God.
So we, like, make our way down the staircase, and we, like, hop in as we're swimming around. All of a sudden, and it goes, the water you can see all the way down to the bottom, and it goes down, I think we end up looking up afterwards, like, almost 100 feet. So 100 feet of water, then 50 feet from the surface of the water to the ground. It's just a big, enormous hole. And it's crystal clear blue water. At some point, we're, like, you know, hanging out, swimming around, and these big bubbles start surfacing up. And we look down, and there's a bunch of divers. There were people that were cave diving all the way at the bottom of this cenote, and they, like, went off in, like, a, you know, a cave that, like, wound off to the side.
Cool.
And then these divers, like, surfaced, and we were talking to them briefly. It was, like, it was really pretty amazing.
That is a dream. I love spaces like that, and I feel like when me and my ex-husband traveled together, we'd always find ourselves in places like that, because he wanted to be, like, a cave diver or something. And we ended up in Hawaii in this one little cave that, like, a waterfall dumped out into. So, like, you see the pretty waterfall, it's like, ooh, ah, but then we followed the locals to this little cave system that was, like, I don't know, probably like 100 feet away from the base of the waterfall. And so you found this little, like, cave room. And so we, like, walked down this, like, very jungly, like, overgrown, like, stone path down into this little cave that was kind of similar. But you only had to jump, like, you know, 5 or 10 feet to get down into the water. But then at one point, these people, they went underwater and they didn't resurface.
For, like, right, because they were, like, following one of those underground pathways
minutes.
And stuff.
Yeah, and so they came back up, and we were like, where did you go? How did you do that? And we had these, like, waterproof headlamps, and they took us down. And, yeah, you swim down, find the opening into this other room, and then you swim up, and then it's, like, the room that you were...
That's scary shit.
Yeah, and then you're just in this room, though, that's, like, the room that you were just in, but 6 times bigger. So you've all of a sudden, like, whoa, like, this was here the whole time. It's, like, this cathedral. It's amazing. And, it was so cool. And I always wanted to go to the Cave of Swallows, which is, like, reminding me a little bit of what you're talking about, which is also in Mexico. But this is, like, a cave that people can base jump into. So it's so high that from the ground, you can, like, jump into this hole and base jump, and you can parachute down. I've always wanted to go there because it just seems like it has its own ecosystem, and, like, there's, like, plants that basically only exist there, and, like, all these birds that live there, and it seems super cool.
Yeah, it sounds great.
But you went on a little adventure. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it was a real adventure. I'm sure this is, like, very boring for the listeners to have me basically gushing about my vacation. But it's one of those things where, like, I am, as people probably could guess, like, fairly skeptical when it comes to, like, I don't know, destinations, right? Like, there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, you have to go see this thing, it's incredible, and then I go, I'm like, yeah, it's fine, I guess, like, whatever. But this is, like, one of the very memorable moments where I was like, oh, this is actually incredible. Like, I know that all the white people talk about how great it is to swim in cenotes when they go to the Yucatan, but they're right, it's incredible. And I don't understand why there aren't just locals there all the time, like high school kids hanging out after school swimming in the cenote. It's what I would be doing every day.
I mean, whatever. Yeah, we're white people. We're enjoying our privilege of enjoying other people's cultures.
But yeah, it was pretty great. So yeah, I did that. Awesome. Ate a bunch of tacos. Saw some ruins. Also just, like, relaxed a little bit, which was nice. Just spent some days, like, reading.
Yeah. Do you like ceviche?
I do like ceviche, though I will say that the ceviche we had while we were in town was not the best ceviche. I don't know if ceviche is actually a culinary strength of the Yucatan. No disrespect to the Yucatan, but their tacos were the best I've ever had. And the ceviche was like, oh, this is fine, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's good. What was on the tacos?
What was on the tacos?
I want to know. I want to know what kind of meat. Did you eat, like, tongue? Or did you eat, like...
Oh, it was mostly pork and a couple beef tacos.
Okay, cool.
I don't think we had any particularly adventurous kinds of meats or whatever. But
yeah, I feel like it's all about the tortilla, really. You got to get that, like, handmade corn tortilla.
Tortillas were great. Mm. They have there's, are you familiar with Al Pastor tacos?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a thing down there, and they were fabulous and incredible, and I love them. I love things that are, it's like a perfect example of like a cross-cultural culinary success, right? The Al Pastor tacos. It's up there with like Vietnamese food, which is like taking Southeast Asian ingredients and combining it with like French culinary techniques because of French colonialism, and that's where you get like Vietnamese food from, where it's like an amazing combination of two things that are just so great together. Feels so special.
That sounds awesome. So you didn't get like Montezuma's Revenge or anything like that while you were there?
I did get a little bit of a stomach bug. You're not supposed to drink the water or anything, and you know, it's kind of a gray area as whether or not you should like brush your teeth with the water or whatever. I got a little stomach bug, but you know, I took this like probiotic and I was fine. Whatever.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. Yeah. I went to Guatemala when I was 10 on a mission trip with my parents, and I got it pretty bad when I was there. And then my dad got stung by a caterpillar and like nearly died because they have these like crazy poisonous caterpillars there. And
actually didn't know a caterpillar could nearly kill somebody.
Yeah, they have these crazy ones. They look like fat little spiky devils, and they're just filled with poison, and just made him like hurl his brains out for 3 days.
That's very sad. Okay.
Yeah, we're all good now. That was like 20 years ago, but cool, fun adventure. I'm jealous.
It was great.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's that.
Cool.
Linda, where are you tonight? What are you doing?
I was just like sitting in my house because I wasn't feeling great. And it's 60 degrees out tonight. So I went to the park. I guess it's down to 50 now, but it was 60 earlier.
Yeah, it's getting a lot warmer.
Yeah.
The weather's been wild.
Walked to McCarran Park. Feels good. When your doggy sees you again after a trip, does she like freak out? She's so excited.
She's very excited. She's generally very chill in her demeanor, so her very excited is like a normal dog's mildly excited, probably.
Oh, okay.
And it lasts for like maybe 5 minutes when she's like, "All right, cool, back to bed. Glad you're home."
She's just like, "Dad, Dad."
Basically, yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
I found a video of the cemetery we went to. I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, hell yeah.
I don't know if the video is going to do it any justice, but you can check it out.
You can try.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
But yeah, that was my trip.
That's awesome.
And I miss talking to you.
Yeah.
This show is, I feel like talking to you is good for the soul.
Aw, Andy. It is.
Yeah, it's good. And there's a lot of things we didn't get to, but we have more episodes coming. We should wrap this one up, though, which means we got to thank our sponsor. This episode.
Ooh.
This episode's brought to you by Vitahi Joshi.
Who?
Vitahi Joshi.
Vitahi?
Yeah, Vitahi. Vitahi is actually an old coworker of mine. And she graciously sponsored this episode by sending me $4 through Venmo. So if you want to sponsor an episode of Earth to Linda, Venmo me $4. My Venmo tag is Andy Mangold.
You gotta be like Vitahi. Is that good?
That's pretty good. That's definitely like better than last week's.
I think I just did Get Your Title Back with Title Max.
I don't know that one. Is that like a local...
It must be.
Stinger or like a local... What are the marketing songs called? Jingles. Is that a local jingle?
I don't know. I think Title Max is like a nationwide thing. At least I thought it was.
It was pretty close to Nationwide is on your side.
Oh, that'll be next week's sponsor. It'll be like...
Let me see who next week's name
Joshua
is.
Joshua is on your car.
No,
shit.
You're not going to be able to make this next one work with Nationwide. You're going to have to think of another jingle.
Fine.
Anyway, send me $4, you chumps.
Well, it was good talking to you.
It's good talking to you too, Linda. I hope you feel better and you quash that stomach flu.
Thank you.
And live your best life.
Thanks. Live your best life.
Have a good night.
All right. Bye.
Bye.